good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Buju Anin, everybody. I am Ogama Ganuakwe. Robert Pilot is out today, so we have a super special guest host coming in today. We have Robert Lilligren, who's the director at the Native American Community Development Institute, here with us today. And we'll have Silas Neeland, who's a youth organizer at the Indigenous Environmental Network, joining us as a guest later. But Robert, if you'd like to take it away, welcome.
Yeah, bonjour, Ogama, bonjour, everyone listening, and thanks for having me. I really appreciated the invitation to be here tonight and to guest host. I usually have a segment or two on Thursday night, so it feels like I'm in control. I hope the power doesn't go to my head, and I really appreciate Chimigwech, Ogama, for all the help and support that you've given me getting us this far.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm glad that you were able to step in for Robert and join us tonight. I always enjoy your segment on Thursdays talking about what's going on in the Avenue.
Yeah, very kind. Thanks. And I know we have a broad listening audience, so not everybody knows what the Avenue is necessarily. And so when we say the Avenue here in Minneapolis, we mean Franklin Avenue, specifically East Franklin Avenue. And the segment where my office is located, and there's probably, within just a few blocks, 40 or more Native organizations, tribal offices, arts and culture institutions, businesses, all in this area that we call the American Indian Cultural Corridor here. And it's a segment of a very important and busy street in South Minneapolis, just south of downtown, where we have an unusually strong and historic Native presence. And it's been a strong Native presence since the middle of the last century. And there's that incredible amount of Native orgs and businesses and tribes that own property right in the corridor. And so I know you've been there, Ogama. You've come down and volunteered. You've come down, I'm sure, and enjoyed some of the amenities. But when folks visit it, you step onto the American Indian Cultural Corridor, and it's undeniably Native.
It definitely is. There's artwork all over the community. There's a coffee shop on the corner called Powwow Grounds, which is a play on words, as you might know about powwows. Yeah, and it's one of the only places that I go in the Twin Cities. I'm not from the city. I'm from a very rural area in north central Minnesota. And when I go down to the Twin Cities, the American Indian Center on Franklin Avenue is my safe place. That's where I go if I'm lost, if I don't know where to go, if I don't know who to ask, or if I just need someplace safe to be for a little bit between something when I'm down there. So,
it just warms my heart to hear you say that. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the American Indian Cultural Corridor, right? To feel like you have a place. And it is. It's a very Native place, and we claim it and express ourselves there. The Powwow Grounds, the coffee shop, is a huge community hub. That's the building my office is in. That's a building that we own. It's a building where we have our art gallery, All My Relations Arts as well.
Some news about, right?
Yeah, we have a great new show opening on July 19th. It's called Najimo, or She Heals. For those who can see, this is the show card. And it's this incredibly themed show that celebrates the importance of aunties in the Native community and the roles that aunties play as guides and leaders and cultural carriers and protectors within the community. And we have an exciting guest curator here, Hillary Kempnick, who's a well-known artist herself. And the show opens on July 19th. They're just mounting the show in the gallery right now. So I got to see some of it. Yeah, it looks really good.
I'm really excited about that topic, too. You know, there's a lot of things that aunties serve as roles in our communities that I think is a little bit unknown by other communities. And, you know, other BIPOC communities may understand it because they have similar roles within their communities. But when we talk about aunties in our culture, we mean women that or yeah, women or people that serve this role of mental, physical, spiritual support for our younger relatives.
Right.
And they're an extra parental role, and you consider your, you know, nieces and nephews like your children. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to have that distinction. So I've got the little poster here for the cover. And I believe the photo is that Nadonis Rose Green's photo as well.
Correct. Yep. Nadonis awesome. Is exhibiting. Yeah. She is really going places with her photography, and she's shown in the gallery before. So it'll be exciting to see. I know that Hillary and then our gallery director, Angela Two Stars, wanted most women artists. That's what they were most interested in on this topic. And I believe there's at least one young man who did a gorgeous sort of family piece of the women in his family. It'll be exciting. The show opens on July 19th. There'll be an event at the gallery, so please come on down between 6 and 8 p.m. if you're here in town. There's also a curator's talk with Hillary Kempernick on August 11th, and we might figure out how to broadcast that, or it might be put out over social media, and then a closing reception, an artist panel on September 9th. So if you go to the NACDI website, NACDI, Native American Community Development Institute, or the All My Relations Arts website, you can get this get the details on it. And this is brought to us, it's in partnership with the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and also it's funded by the Legacy Grants of Minnesota State Arts Board.
Oh, wow. So people can go to the NACDI website, or they can go to, is it allmyrelationsarts.org?
Correct.
Awesome. I'm going to put that up on the screen for our viewers who are listening again. If you want to find out more about Nujimo, She Heals, which is opening at the All My Relations Art Gallery, go to allmyrelationsarts.org or NACDI.org. That is so very heartwarming to hear and so exciting. And I think I'm just going to miss it being down in the Twin Cities this weekend. Did you hear about the rally that's happening in St. Paul this weekend, Robert?
Yeah, I did hear about it. Are you going? Is that what you're coming down for?
Yes, that. And there's significantly better food in the Twin Cities. My birthday's on Saturday. So we're going to be coming down, having something great to eat, and staying overnight with my sister-in-law. And we're going to go down to the rally. So there's a reproductive rights rally in St. Paul this weekend at July 17th at 11 a.m. starting at St. Paul College. And they will be marching to the Minnesota State Capitol building. You can go to unrestrictmn.org. to RSVP, and they can also give you any sort of accommodations that you might need. So definitely, if you are into reproductive rights for Minnesotans, show up for that rally, because it's important to make ourselves heard for that.
It's going to be huge.
Another huge thing that happened today, Robert, too, is that the it's actually, I guess, a bit of water protector news. And before I go much further, I should let people know that this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization working for climate justice. And today there was a water protector who was acquitted of charges. So we talk a lot on here about what is happening with the water protectors who were arrested during 2021 during the construction of the Line 3 pipeline here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. One of those water protectors was Shanai Mattson, who's an ally water protector who grew up in Palisade, Minnesota, just on the banks of the Mississippi River. She was living in the Twin Cities and moved back home north to join to help protect her area. And she was acquitted of all charges today after the judge determined that there was not enough evidence to charge her. So that was wonderful news.
It's such good news. It's huge.
Yes. So we can touch base on that a little bit more in the next section, but we'll also have Silas Neeland, who is a youth organizer. And we'll take off in the next section. Robert, do you want to see us out?
Yeah, and we'll look, when we talk to Silas, we'll also talk a little about the Unity Incorporated Unity conference that was here, the National Youth Leadership Conference.
Yes, indeed. So, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Hey Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hello, this is Ogama Ganuakwe Bijou. Robert Pilot is taking the night to do other things, so in his place we have another Robert. We have Robert Lilligren from Native American Community Development Institute guest hosting with us today.
Yeah, bonjour, Ogama, bonjour, everyone. And it's almost like Robert and Wendy are still here when we hear their voices, recorded voices. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's so good for them to have a night off to do their stuff.
Exactly. So, Robert, I'm really excited to introduce our next guest, who is Silas Nealon is a youth organizer at the Indigenous Environmental Network, and they attended the Unity Conference here in Minneapolis this past week. So the Unity Conference is the what is the acronym now? I have to find it.
I bet Silas could tell us.
Silas, I'm going to join you in. Welcome to Native Roots Radio. Can you tell me what Unity stands for? I've forgotten the acronym.
Hold on. I have to. The United National Indian Tribal Youth, Inc.
I love
it. Thank you, Miigwech, so much. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Silas.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our guests.
Bonjour, everyone. I also want to say thank you to Ogama and Robert for putting me on the show today. My name is Silas Nealon. I am Anishinaabe from the White Earth Nation. I am 14 years old, and I am the youth organizer for the Indigenous Environmental Network, IEN.
Awesome. How long have you been working for IEN, Silas?
Since June of this year.
Oh, do you like it?
Congratulations.
Are you working out of the Bemidji office?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Where I'm at right now.
Awesome. Tell everybody there that Ogama says hi, and thank you so much for coming on with us. So thank you also, Miigwech, for telling me what Unity means, because I totally choked up on that. Would you mind telling the story of how you got involved with Unity? And then is this your first time that you attended the summit, or can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, this actually is my first time. Where I got more introduced, you know, my mom, when she was like around my age, she attended the Unity Conference. So it was important for me to go just, you know, follow into her footsteps, but also to be learning about, you know, starting a youth council that will be to be continued. And yeah.
I got to say, it was great. I didn't get to the conference, which is too bad because our office is very close to the convention center. I live fairly close to the convention center, but I couldn't help but see all these Native youth that are down on the cultural corridor, at our farmer's market, at our at the coffee shop, at our farmer's market. And it was just, it was so encouraging and so noticeable to see so many young Native youth down here learning about leadership, learning about how to serve their communities in that way. And just, it was just a very positive vibe. So I bet it was really a cool summit to be at.
Yes. So for those of you who are listening who don't know what the Unity Conference or Summit is, it's the United National Indian Tribal Youth Inc. Conference. And this year it was held in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Convention Center. And it ran July 8th through July 12th. So I'm not down in the Twin Cities, but I have seen some pictures that have come through. And a few of them were of Silas, which is why we invited him on to talk with us today. But Silas, why don't you tell us what your favorite part of Unity was this year?
The main reason, you know, seeing all these different kind of Native youth from all across, you know, the country, that, you know, that what gets me inspired, you know, that's what inspires me, you know, is other Native youth doing this kind of work, you know, learning about, you know, our history, you know, what happened to us and how we healed from that. And sometimes we are still healing. And seeing, you know, all these Native youth, you know, learning about that, seeing that, really, you know, it really inspires me to keep doing the work that I do for climate justice and for Indigenous people.
I would imagine so. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Silas, Silas is a water protector and has been a youth activist as well. So there's a lot of things that I think a lot of people could learn from Silas, a lot of people who are my age or older even, because the youth really are leading the way. And a whole room of all of you, of Silas and people just like you, Silas, brings my heart so much happiness and hope for the future. What are you thinking you're going to do with your future in the next couple of years? What are your top priorities?
What are my top priorities? So here in the Indigenous Environmental Network, we're working on a project of a youth council for the Indigenous Environmental Network. Cool. Yeah, that's right.
A youth council. That's awesome. So is that going to be like a national level or a state level, or what does that look like?
It's looking at a national level, you know.
Oh.
Some people out of the country are getting interested in that. It just excited me, and I'm just like so thankful that IEN chose me to be part of this.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear more about that. That's going to be really fantastic. As you're doing this work and you're taking on this role in the Indigenous Environmental Network, who are some of your heroes that you're looking up to?
A lot.
Top three. How about top three? Or maybe three you can think of in no particular order so nobody gets any hurt feelings.
The top three that I can think of right now is Simone Senegals, who, you know, who has been, you know, with IEN for like so many years now. And it's like, I appreciate her as one of my heroes because she's one of the reasons why I'm here today. And my second one, my mom. My mom, you know, she will always be my number one. She was the one that gave birth to me, the one that brought me everywhere, the one that empowered me the most. My third one. My third hero. I have too many to think of.
That's a good problem to have, especially as a Native young person. I know when I was younger, there were not a lot of Native heroes to look up to. And now I have probably some of my heroes are the same as yours. I really do look up to your mom and Simone as well. Dallas Goldtooth and his father are pretty big ones too as well. Robert Lilligren, who did you look up to when you were a kid?
You know, it's kind of the same thing. There weren't a lot of role models or Native role models. One of them would have been my dad. My dad was an on-air radio personality, and he had a fairly successful career, and he really went into spaces where Native people weren't at the time, and sort of, you know, his career started in the 50s and lasted through the 90s and the 1990s, and he always carried his Native identity, put that forward in really courageous ways, and then as the movement sort of started in the late 60s, the founding of AIM, language reclamation. He became quite a presence at a number of early language tables here in Minneapolis and in the Twin Cities. And he used to, my mom would make a big pot of soup or chili, and he would show up at the language tables. And someone just brought it up today at our Four Sisters Farmers Market that my org holds, that they were at language table with my dad and how helpful he was. And he was very modest about his language, but he was a really, really skilled Ojibwe speaker. So he was probably my number one.
That's fantastic. So I just want to get back to Silas for a minute here. We've got about 2 minutes left. Silas, is there anything I forgot to ask you or anything else you want to say while you have the airtime?
Not anything I can think of. I know there's a lot that I can think of, but my mind is always just so blank when it comes to interviews.
You know, interviews have a tendency to do that to people, well, I think.
I think you're doing great, Silas. And I really look forward to watching you, what you accomplish. When you establish the council, that'll be exciting to see. And, you know, I think back to when I was your age, there weren't resources like this, you know, or when I first started learning to organize back in my late teens, there weren't conferences or summits. You just kind of figured it out. And so to see young folks like you and like Ogama, who's about to have a birthday, she's not quite as young, but still you know, it's like, wow, I can't wait to see where you go. You're 14 and you're already doing so much. I can't imagine what you'll be doing in 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. I look forward to seeing your stellar career.
And I do as well, Silas. It's going to be wonderful to have you leading the way in our future for our next generations that are coming after you. And again, I want to let everybody know that we've been talking with Silas Neeland, who is the youth organizer at Indigenous Environmental Network out of Bemidji, Minnesota. And he attended the Unity Conference here in the Twin Cities this past week, the 8th through the 12th of July. The United National Indian Tribal Youth Conference was in the Twin Cities. So thank you so much, Silas, for joining us. We really appreciate your time and your energy taking in to come interview with us today. And we will see you again soon. Gigawabaman.
Gigawabaman, Silas.
Robert, does that just warm your heart?
It does, totally. I mean, it's the potential there. I am too. And I'm grateful that Silas could make the time to be with us today. So
absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
So you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Ogama Ginuakwe, and Robert Lilligren is guest hosting for us today on Native Roots Radio. We will be right back after this break.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
You can't go through a day without hearing about healthcare reform. St. Paul Corner Drug is here to help you navigate the ever-changing healthcare landscape. We are your advocate in getting much-needed prescription medication covered under your insurance plan. Need to choose a different plan? There is no reason to feel like you are drowning in the system. St. Paul Corner Drug can make simple work out of finding you a plan that best suits your needs. You can rest assured at St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Hi, Minneapolis. This is Randy Rhodes. Listen to me. Weeknights, 10 to midnight, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hey everybody, this is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style. Say, I'm willing to bet that you're hearing this in your car and there's a good chance that you're heading home. If that's the case, let me ask you, are you looking forward to getting there? Is your home a place that energizes? Well, if it isn't, it might be time for a furnishings refresh. Think about it. We've all spent a lot of time at home over the past couple of years, and maybe you need more than just a new sofa. Why not have a skilled, professional, tasteful interior designer from Habitation help you create a space that is exceptional? Whether it's your family room, living room, bedroom, or even home workspace, Habitation can help you create an environment that is exactly what you've always wanted. Habitation Furnishing and Design, located at the District Edina, 7777 Washington Avenue South, and online at habitationdesign.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Showers and thunderstorms very late tonight with an overnight low of 70, then sunny skies on Friday with a high of 85. Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and restaurant. Now open daily from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. with their full menu available until midnight. Check them out today at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Buju Anin, I am Ogamaganuakwe. Robert Lilligren of the Native American Community Development Institute is actually standing in for Robert Pilot today as our wonderful, wonderful guest host. And I just want to let everybody know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Center. Robert, welcome. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Yeah, Buju Ogama, thanks. And thanks for your kind words. Robert Pilot has some big moccasins to fill here. And so so I hope I'm measuring up, at least in part. And I was hoping on this segment that we could maybe talk about an effort I'm involved in a very small way, but it's through the Indian Collective, and it's a project, an idea of theirs called the Collective Abundance Fund. And it is a fund that will grant almost $50 million out to Native individuals and families to create not wealth in the capitalistic sense, but to create a sort of an indigenized approach to wealth, contentment, happiness, community. It'll be granted to Native individuals and families in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. And I had the honor and privilege to be invited to be part of an advisory group that's helping design what this program will look like. And it's just been a fascinating process, incredible cultural carriers, elders, youth on this advisory group. And it's a group of people that makes me feel smarter just being with them, you know, and the insistence that the members of this group have that this be an Indigenous process based on Indigenous values and that sort of this traditional grantee kind of relationship has just been really, really rewarding and impressive. And I'm just thrilled that we're at this place. And for folks who are familiar or who aren't familiar with Indian Collective, it's a very asset-based approach to, I'm trying to remember what their tagline is. It's a decolonize. What is it?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm going to try to look here.
I'm looking it up as
develop, defend, develop, decolonize. Defend, I was just pulling up their social
develop,
media.
Develop, decolonize. And they take a very activist approach. People, Native folks can help design this program. There is a survey that Indian Collective and the Collective Abundance Fund has put out. There's just a couple more days left to complete this survey. And I would encourage any Native folks that can to fill it out. It takes about, I don't know, 15 minutes or so to fill out. But it's just giving Indian Collective and this advisory group incredible data and insight into what folks want to see, what this program and project should look like. And it's been really helpful. So far, the advisory group met earlier this week, and I was really impressed to hear that just in Minnesota, South Dakota, and North Dakota, we'd already had some 4,200 responses to the survey, which makes it very statistically significant, but also is a really big number. I've seen national polls that don't generate those kinds of responses. So people have a couple more days left. You can go to the Indian Collective website. There's links there, our Facebook page. And I'd encourage you to do it, especially if folks in the Dakotas, North Dakota especially. We need some more responses there. Oh, great. Thanks for putting up the link.
If you're looking to fill out the survey, you can go to the ndncollective.org. So it's NDN, the letters N, D, and N, and then collective.org. Or you can follow this link that I just put up. It's ndnco.cc/collab. So that would be a good way to take the survey too. And Robert Lilligren, have you taken the survey?
Oh yeah, I've taken it for sure. I've encouraged everyone to take it. And like I said, it's about 15, 20 minutes, and they really ask you to imagine imagine your future, what your perfect future, what it would look like, and to really deliberately not be limited by scarcity mentality or things that you may not think are possible, but in a perfect world, what would you vision your future like, and what would you need to invest in that?
Yeah, I took the survey and was pleasantly surprised. I was expecting, you know, a survey, run of the mill.
Right.
And I think very nearly every question is actually a written question where it allows you to fill in what your own answer is. They really ask you, what is your definition of wealth? What does wealth look like to you as a Native person? And that question alone, I think it probably took me more than 15 minutes to complete it because I had to sit down and think about how am I going to explain this? Because I've always felt that, you know, wealth and those types of things felt different to me as a Native person. Those things were taught different to me as I was growing up, even in my family. And then when you step into the dominant culture and you're trying to explain to people, don't worry about paying me back. It's fine. You know, you're my friend. Right. You can come eat here. Those kinds of things. People are kind of put aback by it sometimes.
Right.
Or you have the opposite where you may have had some scarcity and it's hard for you to share those things because you're nervous because you've had scarcity in your life. And I think that opening up those feelings that we have as Native people of what we would ideally like to be able to do as a community isn't just about wealth. It's about traditional knowledge too.
Right. It's about traditional knowledge. It's about culture. It's about family, right? It's about relatives. People are rich in relatives. I once heard a young Native sister who was speaking at a conference, and you know, she said the sort of European, the colonized vision of wealth is about how much you can accumulate, right? How much you keep. She said the native perspective is about how much you give away.
Exactly.
And that's such a fundamental difference, you know. At the meeting of the advisory group, we got sort of a first look at some of the data. It's still kind of new and fresh and not really analyzed, but just some kind of raw stuff. And to your point that you were just talking about, Ogama, there's the question in the survey about, do you believe indigenous or native people view wealth differently than the non-native people? And it was overwhelmingly yes from the survey response, something like 75% or something like that, somewhere in the neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is really a lot.
Right. And so it's something that I think native folks just understand, right? Mm-hmm. And it was really just hearing you talk about going outside of the native community and expressing sort of your native values. Don't bother paying me back, things like that. And maybe non-native folks being surprised. And I've never really put that together, but I'm really bad about at getting people to pay me back. Like if I lend them money or if I lend them something, I've always been really, really bad about getting repaid. And I've never really connected it to the fact that I'm sure it's just the way I was raised. You know, it was, if it belonged to me, you know, I could give it to you or something.
Right. And I think the best way I've heard it described is there's a statement that says, if you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence.
I love
it. You should be able to share with people around you. So if I'm doing okay, and obviously I'm doing all right enough to offer that to you, then there's no need for me to feel any sort of strain or stress in my life to say, I need that back from you. It's not a give and take. It, you know, once something is given, I believe that it's gone. And if you get paid back, sometimes that's great if that's what the other person wants to do. But if you're truly giving, you don't need to ask for anything back. And I think a lot of us are like that too. We give our time, we give money, we give food, we give away gifts, we give our knowledge. And, you know, unfortunately the dominant culture, I think, has taken advantage of our culture for that in a lot of ways too.
I agree. And then that you had mentioned it as well. Then that starts to create the scarcity mentality, right? And and then that creates friction, conflict among Native people, Native communities. And so overcoming that scarcity mindset is something that Indian Collective really works toward. And this Collective Abundance Fund is specifically meant to start addressing that and to sort of throw off that scarcity mentality and scarcity perspective and grow a perspective of abundance, which is traditional, right? That's very traditional. And, you know, sometimes I forget that the disruption of colonization, you know, it's been a long time, right? It's been 500 years, you know, maybe in different parts of the colonized United States, it's maybe different lengths. But if you consider that Native cultures are, you know, millennia old, that disruption isn't as great as, you know, as I think it seems sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so how do we sort of bridge back to go forward? And when I see young people like Silas that we just talked to, and they're doing it, you know, and so it just gives me so much hope.
It does. It's really hopeful. And for those of you who might just be tuning in, Robert Lilligren of NACTI and I, Ogama Ganukwe, are talking about the Collective Abundance Fund. The NDN Collective is working to distribute, I believe, nearly $50 million to Native individuals and families in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. And Robert Lilligren's organization, Native American Community Development Institute, is also helping with that a little bit, I think, too. There is a survey that's happening, and you only have 2 more days to take the survey. I just checked the website, Robert, and it is available on the ndncollective.org website.
And so I would encourage listeners to start thinking about what they may use some of this money for, and that they that will spend this year doing this program design and hopefully launch it early in 2023, March of 2023, and probably have a multi-year sort of granting season. And so this will be Native individuals, Native families eligible for this. So start thinking. about what you might do with those kinds of resources.
Oh, wonderful. So everybody, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We will be right back after this break.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
COVID vaccines are safe and available for anyone over the age of 6 months, and booster shots are available for anyone over the age of 5. Getting vaccinated will protect you from severe illness and hospitalization from COVID. If you're still not sure about getting vaccinated, talk to your doctor. They can answer any questions you have about safety and vaccine effectiveness. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This is Ogama Gnu Akwe. Robert and Wendy are both taking the night off, so we are here today with Robert Lilligren, who is the director at Native American Community Development Institute and a White Earth Ojibwe member. I just want to let everybody know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Ow! Thank you for not making me howl by myself.
I almost missed it. I almost missed it, Ogama.
So everybody, I have some news, some updates, and some things that are happening. I just wanted to touch base on a little bit in this last segment. Robert Lilligren just kindly reminded me that in that first segment, I forgot to mention everybody should be saving the date for the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center Red Dress Gala, which is going to be on September 9th, 2022 at Intercontinental St. Paul Riverfront. It's going to run from 5:30 to 10 p.m. There is an invitation to follow, meaning there's more information that's going to be coming up. Robert Lilligren, do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Well, I was just going to say a couple things. And one is that, so people maybe from outside the cities here know, the Intercontinental St. Paul Riverfront Hotel is a Native-owned hotel. It's owned by the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. And if I'm not mistaken, the Mille Lacs Band, which is a tribe here in Minnesota, actually own and control a majority of hotel rooms in the city of St. Paul. It's been a really focused investment of theirs, an economic development strategy over the last couple of decades. And just about Minnesota Indians Resource Center, it's such a great organization serving the community, women, and primarily women, Two-Spirit people as well. They're a partner on our show that we were talking about earlier in our All My Relations Arts Gallery, the show about the Aunties, the Nanjimo show. And MIWRC, or Minnesota Indians Women's Indian Resource Center, has a fairly young visionary leader who's been there, it must be about 2 years now, or maybe even a little more. probably about 2 years, Marissa Cummings. And she is just, it's a great organization. And it's had great leadership, women leadership since it was founded. And Marissa is just standing on their shoulders and really taking the organization to new levels.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I'm so glad. I think we talked a little bit to Marissa, I think, just after Roe v. Wade had been overturned. She joined with Mary Kunesh and Dr. Stately, Dr. Anthony Stately of the Native American Community Clinic, co-hosted for us a few weeks ago. So that is going to be so exciting. Again, Red Dress Gala for the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Save the date for September 9th, 9/9/22, from 5:30 to 10 p.m. So that would be something so great to get down there for. Again, you know, a Red Dress Gala is so fitting for the work that the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does for our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives. So
I agree.
Really glad to see that. I wanted to touch base too on another notice here for our Indian relatives who have given birth recently. I've seen this on the Illuminative page, but there's a public health organization public health organizations serving Native communities are looking for Indigenous people who have given birth in the past 2 years to participate in a research study about Indigenous perspectives on positive pregnancy care experiences. So this is just a little bit similar to that Collective Abundance Fund. This is asking you as a Native person who's given birth in the last 2 years about what you would find a positive pregnancy care experience to be like. So if you are interested in that, you can email Dr. Shannon Maloney, who is a Mohawk, and her email is shannon.maloney, M-A-L-O-N-E-Y, at unmc.edu. I emailed her earlier today and I have an interview set up for next week as I just gave birth 4 months ago. Wow. And I certainly have some things to say on what a positive pregnancy care experience looks like as a Native person, and some things to say about how I feel about that versus what I actually got during my pregnancy care too. So I'm pretty excited to take part in this as well. So make sure you email. I know that there are a lot of my Indigenous relatives and sisters who have had babies recently. I think I probably could name a half a dozen of us off the top of my head. So definitely take the time to do that if you're available. That would be so great to help with this. You know, I think it's important that our perspective is put into more places. You know, we need our perspective in the healthcare system. We need our perspective in the political specter. Where else would you say we need to?
Just pause on that political one and talking about Illuminative, you know, a national organization that's doing incredible work to change the narrative, right? To help to support us taking control of our own narrative in a number of realms. And we're actually partnering with Illuminative. We've done it a few times and, you know, we're a local kind of community partner. And Illuminative is sort of sponsoring a research project to figure out what motivates Native voters, and especially specifically environmental issues, water issues, and how effective that is. And so we have at NACDI our Make Voting a Tradition multi-generational approach to getting younger people, whole families to vote. We've been doing that work for about 8 or 9 years. And so they're using our work, doing our voter outreach to test messages and to research their effectiveness. And they have our site, and then I think it's a Dene or some Southwest tribe. They have a reservation site as well where they're doing this kind of research. And it's fascinating.
What is the website, Robert?
It's through Illuminative. Through Make Voting a Tradition, and they're helping us build a new Make Voting a Tradition website.
Oh.
So it will be, it's not launched yet, but it will be imminently, but it will be makevotingatradition.org, and you can also link to it from the NACDI website. But just doing that kind of, you know, partnering with an organization like that. Oh, and then we're engaging Native artists to help put some of these message pieces into graphic representation. And so at NACDI, you know, of course, we have our Make Voting a Tradition. We also have our All My Relations Arts. And we can use the our artist network to engage artists and offer artists opportunities, employment opportunities in doing this kind of graphic design.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it's very cool.
all very circular, like many things are in Native culture with us. Everything is interconnected and loops back around to one another. So that is so exciting. You know, speaking of Native artists, I just want to let everybody know too, because we haven't mentioned it on this show, that the Native Roots Trading Post is going to be at the Minnesota State Fair this year, August 25th through September 5th. And we are supporting Native artists. So come in and see us for some Native gear and swag and products. We're going to have all kinds of things. So many things, I can't even name it. And then I believe Robert is planning on going live from the state fair as well.
That's what he was telling me today. So yeah, that's very exciting. And it's building on the great work that Native Roots Trading Post and you and Robert and Wendy and all did right downtown Minneapolis on the mall, right?
In the Dayton Center. Yeah. So the Dayton Center is closed for the season and is planning on reopening again a little bit closer to the holidays, as everybody's outdoors for the summertime right now. So not very many people indoors shopping, but the state fair is going to be pretty spectacular.
Right. So landing that state fair spot. Some people wait generations to get something like that. And so I think it's super exciting. I can't wait to support you out at the state fair.
I can't wait to go. I'm going to say something blasphemous as a Minnesotan, but I've never been to the state fair.
What?
I have never been.
Unreal.
I don't like traffic. I'm not a big fan of crowds. It's really hot that time of year.
It's got all that. It's so funny because growing up, you know, I worked out there at my dad's radio station, WCCO. They had a presence, and I was in 4-H, so we were out there a lot. We showed horses. So I would be sometimes every day at the state fair. So to hear someone say they've never been there, it really is kind of startling.
You know, that's how my partner feels. And he was always just like so horrified by it. I thought he was just exaggerating. And then, you know, I talked to people like you and Robert Pilot and other people, and they're like equally as horrified. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's probably something I should have done before. That's good to know.
So you'll go this year, right?
Go this year. I will be there. So I'm pretty excited to be there for the first time and to be a part of something so big like that. So,
and I can't think of another sort of Native retail presence, you know, like the Trading Post. Maybe there have been some in the past, but for someone who's been to the state for hundreds or thousands of times, I don't remember ever seeing that before.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't actually have that info, but it might be something we'll have to keep a lookout for when we go this year. So you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thank you so much, Miigwetchi, Robert Lilligren, for co-hosting with us. I always appreciate having a good conversation with you. It warms my heart. Thank you to Silas Neeland for joining us and for that wonderful interview about the Unity Conference. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Robert and Wendy will be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.